Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing what the Bible has to say about the church. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us, God, that we might not sin against you, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing your will to be our will, God. Father, we thank you for you allowing your word to be our word, God. Father, allow us to be what you would have us to be, God. Allow us to do what you would have us to do, God. Allow us to say what you would allow us to say, God. Father, allow us to agree with you that your plan is good and you are worthy of all praise. Father, we thank you for how awesome you are, God. We praise you, we magnify you, we lift you up, God. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. And we give you all the glory right now. And we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent for our salvation and our redemption. And we praise you for your awesome plan right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
It's moving.
somebody just help me do that.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shooting the atmosphere. Every oath will be destroyed.
I believe it.
Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say it.
It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking.
Worship has power. Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here.
You'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hand. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well.
And you'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me, just take this medication, and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands.
And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting.
Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing what the Bible has to say about the church. And people have a lot of ideas about what they think the church is, what they think the body of Christ is. But we want to go to what the Word of God says. And then we want to model ourselves according to what the Word of God says is true, so that we can be focused on God's purpose and God's will. I want to start tonight's teaching in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to read Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. We're going to start off with verse 10, where it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And what this is saying is that God is going to gather together in one all things in Christ, all things in heaven and all things on earth, even in him. And this appointed time is referred to here as the dispensation of the fullness of time. Now, right now, we live in what's called the Grace Administration. And the Grace Administration is this time period that has existed for the past 2,000 years or so, where the Holy Spirit has been available to mankind when you make Jesus Christ your Lord. And before the Grace Administration, the Grace Dispensation, was what was referred to as the Christ Administration, which basically was the dispensation of Christ, where Jesus Christ was sent to redeem mankind. But before that was the law, and that was the dispensation of the law under Moses. Well, this final dispensation is this dispensation of the fullness of times, where God is going to bring together all things in Christ, and he's going to finally realize his master plan that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him. And as Christians in the body of Christ, we have to understand that that is God's plan. We have to also understand that the church consists of the Jewish believers and the Christian believers. We're all one body in Christ. So look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 to 23. It says, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And see, allowed his son Jesus Christ to put all of his enemies under his feet, to subdue all power. And then he gave him, God gave his son Jesus Christ to be the head over all things to the church. So the head of the body of Christ is the church. And the church is his body. We are the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And we have to understand how important we are. The body of Christ is identified by our love walk, by how we produce in our life love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. As we operate the power of the Holy Spirit in our life by producing signs, miracles, and wonders on the earth, see, we believe. That's why we're called believers. Look at what it says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us kingdom of his dear son? See, God delivered us from the power of darkness. We were once enemies of God, but now he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. And look what it says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So this is speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the body of Christ, and he's the head of the church. There is no other head of the church. And in speaking of Jesus Christ, it says that he is the beginning. It says that Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. And it says that in all things he might have preeminence. So as firstborn from the dead, he is to have preeminent of the church. And so when you speak of the church, if you're speaking about the assembly of believers that you associate with every week, that is exactly what I just called it, the assembly of the believers that you fellowship with every week. But when you speak of the church is the one body of Christ. It is not limited to any one denomination. It is not limited to any one language. It is not limited to any one nation. It is universal. And it is the biggest, most powerful organization in the world because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. So look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Look what it says in verse 18. It says, "And I say, I also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And you have to understand that Jesus Christ asked Simon, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon said, "You are the Son of God." And Jesus Christ said, "Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." See, God's Father revealed to Simon that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is a powerful thing. And we see that Jesus Christ said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So we know that God's plans are being fulfilled. We know that as God set forth in Revelation 3:21 that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him, that's going to come to pass. That's going to happen. Now the question is, are we going to be a part of making that happen and make for ourselves a place in the future governing of the new heavens and the new earth, right? Are we going to reign with Christ? Or are we just going to be there? And so look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. It says, "And are built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." See, we are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. See, we're all supposed to be an habitation of God through the Spirit that dwells within us. That's a powerful thing. And it says that the building, it groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And it says, "And we are built up upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." See, there's another verse that says Jesus Christ was the first apostle, right? Look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." What it says in verse 21. "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." See, we're to be giving glory to God. And we are understanding that the whole family in heaven and earth is named unto him in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. See, the church is universal. We're going into a period, a dispensation, referred to here in Ephesians 1 as the fullness of time, in which God is going to gather together all things in Christ, in heaven and in earth. And we have to look forward to that. We have to understand that God is intentional about making that happen. And God has given us indicators. He's given us examples in the earth of how this actually works, how this is structured. And one of these that people might find very fascinating is located in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 to 27. And it actually speaks of a a very example of how the church exists. Look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 to 27. What it says is, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. So let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Now, look at what it's saying here. It's saying that husbands are the head of their wives, just as Christ is the head of the church. And so just as Christ is the Savior to the body, husbands are to love and cherish their wives as Christ loves and cherishes the church and gave himself for it. So see, Jesus Christ loved the church unto death, and that is how husbands are to love their wives, unto death. And it says that the intent is that Jesus Christ might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word, or with the washing of water by the word. See, it's the word of God that cleanses us. And he wants to present the church to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. See, that is the intent. And anything short of that is a lie. And so now what we have to do is learn how to stand on the power of the word of God and call a lie, and then say what God says. This is God's will for the church, is that Christ has given himself, and he is sanctifying and cleansing the church with the washing of water by the word of God, so that he can present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And what it says in verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord cherisheth the church." See, we love ourselves, and we take care of our flesh. Our flesh is our biggest organ. And we care for ourselves because we don't hate our own flesh, but we nourish it, we cherish it, and that's how Jesus Christ cares for the church. Look at what it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And this is referring to Jesus Christ. We are complete in Christ. And it says that he is the head of all principality and power. Look what it says in verse 19 of Colossians chapter 2. It says, "And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God." See, we are all connected. We are one body, and we are knit together. We all have joints and bands, nourishment ministered to each and every part of the body, knit together, and we increase with the increase of God. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." So we have to understand that we don't all have the same purpose in the body of Christ, but we are all of the body of Christ. And let me restate that so I can be clear about that, is
arm is the arm, the hand is the hand, the eye is the eye, the ear is the ear, but it's all a part of the same body. Now, for us in the body of Christ, our purpose is to reconcile the world back to God. So we all have that same purpose in common, but we are all playing different roles as it pertains to our part in the body of Christ. And that's important for us to understand so that no one gets hung up there doing what somebody else is doing, because we're all really doing the same thing according to what God has designed us to do. So look at what it says here, and that's a part of trusting God's plan, is trusting God's design for your life, because, see, you are the only version of you that's ever going to exist. And there are things that God has designed you to do that only you can do. So look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 28. What it says here is very revealing about this. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it for not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." So he said Jesus Christ is the head, and others as the ear, and others as the mouth, and others as the eyes, and others as the hand. And it says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body of Christ as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered our body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have their same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. For one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, this is what it says about the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12:12 to 28. So God is telling us that we are all necessary, we're all required, we all work together in various capacities so that the body of Christ can function, but there is only one head. And it's fascinating here, because when we look at this, there are those who perform miracles, there are those who perform helps, there are those who perform healings, there are those who perform diversity of tongues. There are those who teach. There are those who prophesy. There are those who are apostles. And now we have to understand that there is only one head, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the body of Christ. And that is all that counts. Look at what it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 13. It says, "And we beseech you, therefore, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." See, we're to be at peace, not wrangling for position, not pushing, pulling to see who's going to reign over the local assembly. Goodness, you know, God has given us a grace to serve one another according to the capacity that he's placed within us. That's what grace is. Grace is God's unmerited favor, but it's also God's enabling power. So God has not given you the power to do something that he hasn't called you to do. So along with the power that he gives you to do what he's called you to do, he gives you the favor so that you can do it in peace. You can do it well, right? We're to be at peace among ourselves. We're to be walking in love, and we're to be very highly esteeming those who are doing the work of the Lord and ministering to us in love. And so this is something that is we're being implored to consider when it says, "I beseech you, brethren." That's saying, "I beg you to know those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." See, those who are over us in the Lord are there to remind us of what God is doing. And what I'm trying to remind you of tonight is that you are important to God. God loves you. God has a purpose for you. And God absolutely needs you to make this thing happen. All should be about the business of reconciling the world back to God and ministering to one another in love. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Right? Look what it says in verse 17 of Hebrews 13. It says, "Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." See, it is not to your benefit that the people who are charged with ministering to you, as your bishops, your elders, your deacons, your pastors, your apostles, your prophets, your teachers, your evangelists, those people who are ministering to you are to be able to minister to you in joy and not with grief. We're to be able to walk in love and obey those that are ruling over us and submit ourselves to their authority so that we can allow them to watch for our souls, to minister to us, to lead us and guide us as Christ directs them, so that it can be profitable for us, so that we can be equipped to reconcile the world back to God. Look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And see, these ministers, their real job is to make sure that you are focused on your eternal reward. You are focused on winning souls for the kingdom. You are focused on seeking first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God so that all the things that the world chases after you can be given by God. And they are charged to make sure that the more than abundant life that Jesus Christ came for you to have mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, you can have right now. And you can be storing up your eternal rewards right now by doing what God said, the way God said it. And look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. It says, "And it gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." See, these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are gifts to the body of Christ. And the reason they are gifts to the body of Christ is they are there for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are to be building up the body of Christ, edifying the body of Christ, perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is reconciling the world back to God, just sharing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ so that we can all build the body of Christ up and take people from death to life. Take people from being enemies of God as we were before we met Christ and tell them about what God did for us and how God can do the very same thing for them. That is your testimony. And that is what makes this real. See, you are the living epistle. You are the story everybody's watching. And they might not let you know they're watching. They're watching you when you are out in the world, an enemy of God, living like hell. And then they're watching you when God got a hold of you and called you, when you responded to his voice and made God's son, Jesus Christ, your master and Lord, and submitted to him and started praying and studying and fasting and fellowshipping with like-minded believers and doing your good deeds. And you find yourself growing in the Lord. And it's in more than what you say. They're looking at how your life is being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life from the inside out. You know, eventually what's going on inside of you is going to manifest on the outside, but God is concerned more about what's going on inside. And the more that God works on your heart by the cleansing of the word, the more you're going to see the love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control that is a part of being a child of God manifested in your life. And that's going to win those people who were hanging with you when you were serving the devil. You were out there in the world just living like hell. And look at what it says here, 2 verse 41 to 47. What it says is, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one another, in one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, this is the Acts 2 church. It was a glorious example of what happens when we are walking in love as one body. And you see, at the beginning of this description of what was going on in Acts 2, it says that people were gladly receiving the word of God, and they were baptized. And that same day, this is a single day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Have you ever been anywhere where 3,000 people were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? You talk about a revival, you know? I haven't heard about any revivals like this in a minute. That it's being spoken of here means it's available. It's something that can happen. We have to desire to get back to what God says this is. and to take it as seriously as God says it is. So what were they doing here in Acts 2 that made it so special that they were able to baptize 3,000 people in one day? It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So they're listening to the word. They're gladly receiving the word. They're fellowshipping with one another, with like-minded believers. And they're breaking bread. They're eating together. And they're praying together. And we know where there's prayer, there's power. So now it says fear came upon every soul. See, that respect for God, it says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And people will tell you, you know, well, fear is reverence and fear is this and fear is that. Acknowledging the sovereignty of God. Meaning you do what God says, the way God says it. And you learn to please God, serve God, trust God, and obey God. That's what it means to submit to God and to have the fear of the Lord. And it says many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. See, because you had this believing, you had this like-mindedness, you had this collective obedience, this corporate obedience, right? Where people are doing what the word of God says. And then you see souls being saved by the thousands, right? So now it says, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. Now, it didn't say they took up a million collections. It said they had all things in common. They were together. And it says they sold their possessions and their goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So they distributed to those in the body of Christ as each had need so that no one was lacking, right? And look at what else it says they did. It says they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Did they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart? So, yes, they went to the temple, they went to church, but then they went to one another's homes and ate as well, right? It was not anybody hoarding everything for themselves. It was a fellowship, and they had gladness and singleness of heart. And they were praising God, and they had favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. See, God is the one who adds. And we're seeing this. And so now they're praising God. They have favor with all people. And the Lord is adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Look at what it says here in Psalm 133:1, and this is really look what it says here. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See, it's the unity of the body of Christ that makes us the body of Christ. It makes it possible for us to be one. And when the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers get to doing their job by perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, we're going to see things look like what God designed them to be. But we have to get away from pleasing people. You have to get away from serving money. You have to get away from leaning to our own understanding. We have to get away from operating out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. And we have to focus on serving God and not serving money. Pleasing God and not pleasing people. Trusting God and not leaning to our own understanding. Operating out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit in obedience to God and not operating out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities in order to bring glory to ourselves. See, when we are looking to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, we are letting them know that it is your job and your duty to reconcile the world back to God by introducing them to the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And we are supposed to be building up the body of Christ so that anything that is a lie, we call it lies. Allow these lies to permeate the body of Christ. We don't allow these lies to steal the power from and the power and the authority of the Word of God from the Word of God. And we allow the Word to have its cleansing effect all by itself because the Word of God is powerful enough all by itself to do all that God wants it to do, that all does all that God has designed it to do. And when we understand that we are all members of the body of Christ, we are all necessary. There is no big I and little you. We are all absolutely necessary. If I cut my finger today, the whole body would suffer because all my attention would be on that one part that is suffering, right? But if, on the other hand, my whole body is well and feels energized, I'm going to rejoice. Now, my whole body is going to rejoice, right? But if my foot gets hurt, then my whole body is going to suffer because my foot gets hurt. So we are going to learn to care for one another as the respective members of the body of Christ in understanding that we're all connected. And that's what Jesus Christ is showing us in the Word. And when we get to that law of Christ, which is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love ourselves, and then love one another, then the body of Christ is going to be whole. The body of Christ is going to be performing signs, miracles, and wonders. The body of Christ is going to be edified. The body of Christ is going to grow in numbers and grow in stature because we're going to be doing what the Acts 2 church was doing. And people will know that we are Christians, in fact, because we are doing what God has given us to do. And when it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, that is what God has given us to do so that we can come to the knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we can be united in that knowledge. And we can focus on that great and awesome day in the dispensation of the fullness of times where God is going to gather together all things in Christ, the things in heaven and the things that are on earth, even in him, put all things under his feet and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that fills us all in all. So God is going to bring all things together in the dispensation of the fullness of time. And we're going to be a part of that. We are going to be reigning with Christ in his government. And that is what we're preparing ourselves for now. And when we understand what had to happen for us to be delivered from the power of darkness and death and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ, then we're going to be deliberate about making that happen. We're going to be excited about making that happen. So I just want to encourage you to focus and do all that God has called you to do so that the church can be manifested in the earth. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth. God, I thank you for you blessing someone mightily tonight and touch them in a way that only you can. Father, I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teaching, Be Ye Transformed.
want to tell you a story now. About a man. Called Shouting John. John joined a dead church. They didn't believe in dancing. They didn't believe in speaking in other tongues. But early one Sunday morning, they opened the doors of that old dead church. John joined that old dead church. When John joined the old dead church, he came in. Dancing all around the church, they tried to hold his legs, his hands were gone. When they turned the handle loose, the feet were going. It's just like fire. It's just like fire. It's just like fire. Shut up in my bones. They did everything they could to stop old John. When they could not stop him, they made up in their mind. We gotta go out to John's house, y'all. But doesn't he know? We don't act like that in our church. Doesn't John know? We got dignified people, and they're in our church. We're going. We're going to John's house. What? Come on down here, y'all. When they got out there, come, come, come. They found this 90-year-old man, him and an old beat up mule. peace, no longer. Did you see all of that land that you all just drove in on? He said, God gave me all of that land. You don't want to let me praise the Lord in your church. Fundamentals, I want you to bend over and look. Come on, bend down. Go. He said, I'm still able to harvest my own crop. Stay right there. I'm still able to walk down the heaven of you. He said, not only that, but look at him. Look. Look. I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits. You name it. God gave it. He healed me. When I was put outdoors, he put a roof over my head. Have you got anything to praise him for tonight? John said, since I can't shout in your church, I've got something I want you to do for me. Praising him. Oh.